The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to the boardroom, hosted by Russell Dinkins. This week's meeting is called to order.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of the boardroom meeting. I'm your host, Russell Dinkins, and in studio today, we'll be talking with our co-host about tax season. As you probably are aware, Nicole Reeves is an accountant, and so we're going to be picking her brain today as to what's going on with this year's taxes and the things that you need to know to make sure that you're in compliance. So I know as a business owner and also individually, this is probably a concern of most of us. For what I'm being told is that on the 26th of this month, it will be the last day that the IRS will be processing taxes for this year. And that the if you don't file by that time, then you'll be bleeding into the next year. And, of course, we don't want to incur any penalties and things associated with that. So without further ado, Ms. Reeves.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, perfect, perfect. Sound like you was telling me a secret. Okay, all right, okay. So 2022, you're in tax planning tips. So what is the first tip that we need to be aware of?
Well, just to go back, the IRS is shutting down their, you know, operations on November 26th. So if you haven't already filed your taxes, you need to just get it in so that your interest and penalties don't keep going and going. If you haven't done it by now, you've already incurred a late penalty, mm-hmm. you know, but you don't want them to start adding stuff on top of that, you know, so, because otherwise you're going to have to wait until probably the end of January in order to file your taxes electronically. So some year-end tax planning tips. First thing is to check your paycheck. Check your most recent paycheck withholdings and make sure that you've you're up to par with how much taxes are coming out. So you can go to the IRS website. They have, you know, an IRS withholding estimator that they mm-hmm. have right on there. You put in what your year to dates are. You put in what you estimate, you know, any other income is going to be for the year, business income, if mm-hmm. you have children, you know, they ask you the whole thing. So it could take you 10, 15 minutes. But that'll let you know where you are in the year. So now we're, you know, where are we? We're in the beginning of November.
right.
And, you know, if you haven't done enough, then you have time to put more money on your taxes.
Let's talk about the paycheck for a moment. So if you're looking for your federal taxes, I guess that would be under FICA, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for your local taxes, that would be your city, right?
Okay.
And then you will have your state taxes. Now, for individuals that live in one area and work in the other, I have experienced in the past these privilege taxes for working in different other, you know, other townships and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And how are they handled?
It really just depends on what the jurisdiction is. If you, you know, live in Jersey and work in Pennsylvania, you're only getting taxed in one state, you know, so you need to make sure on your taxes it's you're getting taxed on one or the other. You shouldn't have taxes for Pennsylvania and for New Jersey. Okay. But if you, let's say, work in Jersey or PA and or you live in Jersey or PA and you work in New York, mm-hmm. right, you're probably going to see taxes come out for both.
Right. So when I actually lived in Philadelphia and I worked in Willow Grove, mm-hmm. actually Horsham, then I had to pay a Horsham privilege tax mm-hmm. for actually being able to work mm-hmm. in that location.
Yeah, some of the townships and you know, outside areas, outside of the maybe even bigger cities, they have a special tax.
So how do you
have a local tax?
So you actually will have to, like, when you pay your state and local taxes and record that, I mean, does that have any bearing on your tax return at all or no?
I mean, it has a bearing if you haven't paid enough of that privilege tax or that local tax.
Okay.
You know, then you're going to have to pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't get none of that comes back.
It might come back if you pay too much, yeah.
If you pay too much.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, hey, listen. So, tip number two.
Tip number two is you can pay some of your bills early. Not just, you know, not just random bills, but you can get deductions during the year for unreimbursed medical expenses, for money that you give to charities, like actual real charities, for real estate taxes and personal property taxes that you paid. So if you're looking at, if you know you have some medical expenses coming up, or you have a bill, right, mm-hmm. and you haven't paid it yet, you're planning on paying it in January, February, you might be able to pay that now, along with if you're planning on giving some money to charity. You know, you could pay a little bit more on the real estate taxes if you know you have real estate tax bill that's due January, February. You could pay that now before mm-hmm. the end of the year, because all those things actually go on one form.
Right.
Right. When we're doing the taxes. And if you can pile it up enough, mm-hmm. then that could help bring your income down, and then you'll pay less in taxes.
Let's talk about the charity. Do for everything that every dollar that you give to charity, do you need to have backup for that? But I'm thinking that I know a couple times this year I drove past some bucket drives that kids were having for football, basketball, cheerleading. You mm-hmm. throw some money out the window. Are you able to count those monies, or do you need to have some sort of receipt associated with that?
Well, it needs to be an actual charity that was formed with the IRS. You know, so okay. you got those bucket drives out there, and it may be for a sports team, but it's most likely not a charity, you know.
Okay.
So you should have that information, who you're giving to, if you want to be able to write that
okay,
off.
Okay, we're going to cut that out for the next year. Okay, so do we have anything else on tip number two?
Yeah, you can also add in, you know, disaster losses. So, you know, we've had some hurricanes and things like that in other areas of the country. And, you know, if you've had some major losses assigned to those, you know, to those events, then you could write those off, too. So,
right. If you had a vacation home or any type of property damage or anything like that, or business interruption and all that.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah, yep. Gotcha. So now we're on to tip number three. We're right. humming along here.
Tip number three. Well, don't go too fast. you could prepay your college tuition bills. So if you're going to college, mm-hmm. Or if you have children that are going to college,
right.
you know, I mean, then you know the next bill is coming right on up. So if you pay it now for next year,
mm-hmm.
or pay any a portion of it now
right.
for next year,
mm-hmm.
You've paid it this year in 22. So that will go up against the income that you had come in, because basically you have the lifetime learning credits, you have the American Opportunity credits; those are education credits.
Mm-hmm.
So you get 20 or 25% back towards your taxes off of what you've paid towards tuition or you know, college fees.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So
not room and board though.
Okay. So and the advantage of that being the money that's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to pay, you know, let's say you were going to have to pay $5,000 in taxes this mm-hmm. year, and you went ahead and you paid on your tuition payment that you were going to pay anyway, mm-hmm. right? What if you got $2,500 back against the taxes that you were going to pay? You know, so now it cuts your tax bill in half.
Right, right.
And you were going to pay that college tuition bill anyway. You're just going to pay it in January when school started.
Yeah, that's sort of like counterintuitive to the way that people do their bills. Or like delay and pay works best.
Well, if you're trying to do some tax planning, then sometimes you have to plan ahead and pay ahead.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Understood. So, number four.
Oh, that's right. Also, I wanted to just mention putting money into some 529 accounts. If nobody knows what that is, it's like, you know, a savings account for your children or your grandchildren for mm-hmm. college. So you don't get any type of deduction today for mm-hmm. putting money into these accounts. But if you wanted to put money away for your kids, then it grows tax deferred, so you're not paying
like a 401k.
Yeah. I guess like a 401k. So you don't have to pay any tax on it today, you know. But if you take it out at the end, let's say in 5 years, mm-hmm. your child's going to be going to college or whatever.
Now, what happens if your child decides that they're going to couch surf and not go to college?
You can use it for other things. I will have to look at the details to see what the other things are. But mm-hmm. you'll be able to use it for other things.
Okay.
Or I think even transfer it to another child that might be going to college.
Right.
And then if you don't have anybody that's going to college, then you would just end up paying taxes on the growth of that money.
Got it.
So
if your child's not going to college, maybe the neighbor's child's going to college, you can help them out. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back with more Nicole Reed. Stay tuned for the boardroom.
We will be right back.
Attention entrepreneurs.
We built you a network to solve the three biggest problems that you face. Welcome to AutoMatch Alliance. And that is, of course, networking. After all, entrepreneurism is a team sport. Secondly, lead generation. They do go together, and we do that via software that finds you targeted leads. And thirdly, quality matching members to members via our sophisticated algorithm. And then we add in our exclusive community, which is like Facebook on steroids, and this creates true collaboration. Our promise to you is to provide the most time and cost-effective network on the planet or your money back. Visit us at automatch.network. Register today.
Is your roof leaking? Are your pipes leaking? Hopefully you don't have any fire damage or smoke damage from a fire close to your home or your business. Do you have insurance? If so, Eastern Adjustment Group knows how to make sure insurance companies pay everything you're supposed to have. Don't hesitate to call 215-604-1595. We know how these policies work. We know what to say. We know what not to say. We speak the language. Eastern Adjustment Group will get you paid. 215-604-1595.
Damon John said that entrepreneurism is a team sport. Indeed, it is. We believe that business owners should work together to give back. That's why we've aligned with the gamification of fundraising to support our veterans. Visit www.fundduel.com/servevets and take our challenge. Business owners, employees, and customers all working as a team to raise money to help veterans with the three biggest problems they face: employment, housing, and mental health. Our veterans have sacrificed to protect us all. It's time to support them. All proceeds will be forwarded to the Jacobs Ladder Development Center. Visit fundduel.com/servevets.
You are listening to The Boardroom Meeting with host Russell Dinkins.
And we are back, and today we're talking about taxes and the fact that we're up against November 26th, which is the last day that the IRS will be processing taxes for this year, and we're going through the tax planning tips. So we're on number four. If you miss one through three, then you'll have to rewind. But number four would be, Nicole?
To fund your retirement.
Okay.
I know people have different views about their retirement plans, but you know, on the immediate side, you can get some tax benefits to funding your IRAs or your 401ks and 403bs.
No. And how so?
I don't know what the exact amount, but basically you could put money in pre-tax. You know, so if you signed up for your 401k or your 403b with your employer, you make $80,000 a year, you're putting in $10,000 into your 401k.
Right.
And then now you're getting taxed on the $70,000,
right,
not that whole $80,000.
And sometimes the employers will match.
Sometimes the employers will match, yep.
Right, okay. Yep. And a question, the matching that they do, if there is the matching coming from, is that also considered pre-tax dollars? Or is the employers putting in that in, isn't that post-tax? If it's the employer's money, is matching yours?
Well, that doesn't go on your tax return at all.
I know, but I'm thinking about, maybe you don't know the answer to this question. Maybe I need to get a financial planner. But maybe you do know. But when you actually go to liquidate, aren't they taxing the entire amount, your portion in the match?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, we will be back with that answer on a subsequent show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And moving on, tip number.
You're trying to trick me.
Listen, that's my job, you know, to make myself look good.
Deleting that off the video.
Sure. Okay, let's do that then. So you guys did not hear what you just heard. Tip number five.
You want to spend all the money in your flexible spending account. Some employers give you that extra money to spend on, you know, doctor's visits and things like that.
Right.
So if you leave it, if you don't spend it all by the end of the year, then you can get taxed on whatever's left in your account. So if you know you have some dentist visits or some doctor's visits that you need to do, I would suggest you do them by the end of the year and then you spend up that money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's see. When you're actually looking at the flexible spending account, should you take an account that maybe I had a surplus this year, so I should adjust the amount next year, or should you, you know, is it a good idea to have some overage there, or what would be your advice in that regard?
Well, if you have overage, you know, some plans will let you carry it over,
mm-hmm.
but then you have other plans that won't. You have to spend it by the end of the year.
So it comes down to your administrator.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, you need to know.
All right, now we're up to number six.
Up to number six.
In the home stretch now.
All right, jeez, this goes fast.
Oh, listen, you know what you're doing, so you know, we're chewing through it. So number six.
All right, some information for real estate investors out there. You want to make sure that you are claiming the depreciation on your properties, your investment properties. I have had a few clients come through me from another, you know, accountant
mm-hmm.
that was doing their taxes, mm-hmm. and they had all these properties. These were people with multiple properties,
mm-hmm.
and they were claiming no depreciation at all. So, okay. you know, you have the income coming in from the rents, mm-hmm. you have the regular expenses that go against that income, and then if there's a net income left, you pay taxes on that. If you've forgotten the depreciation on that building
mm-hmm.
or on the things inside the building,
let's go through depreciation.
All right. Depreciation. Basically, you get to write off the wear and tear of your building. Right.
Okay.
So if it's residential, you paid $100,000 for this building. You get to write it off for 27 years. So 100,000 divided by 27 years, that amount, whatever that number is, you get to write that off against your income on that property for as long as you have it.
Really? Okay.
Up to the 27 years.
Up to the 27 years.
Yep. Yep.
So all right. So you're saying, okay, you spend $100,000 for the property. You're able to take how much percent? 20?
You get to write it off over 27. It's 27 and a half years.
27 and a half years?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the calculation for that?
I don't know what the math is.
Okay, you don't know what the math is. Okay, got it. So
$3,000 a year, let's say. I mean, just.
Okay, got it. So... All right. Okay. All right. So, I'm trying to actually, you know, so the depreciation of the building, you get to write off for 27 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that you have decided to renovate the building or to actually during the along the way.
Yeah. It does. It that counts too.
Okay.
Yep. So let's say you bought this building. You've already got renters in there, and then mm-hmm. 10 years in, you decide you want to go ahead and do some upgrades.
Okay.
You know, you can write off those upgrades as well. You can, in addition to the building,
mm-hmm.
you can write off things that are inside the building.
Improvements.
Got carpet. It. You install cabinetry in the kitchen. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You can write off those things. You know, it depends on what class that those items fall into. But some of those things you write them off for 5 years or 7 years or 15 years. You know, you have some people that group everything in together. And they do it for the 27 years, but a lot of times you get a larger tax advantage if you can break those items down into the smaller parts.
How about vacancies?
What do you mean?
Well, your building is not 100% occupied. Say, for example, that you went maybe 4 or 5 months where you had three apartments that you weren't able to lease.
That doesn't matter when you're doing the depreciation.
You
weren't done.
No, I was talking about income that you missed out on during that time. Does that count as far as a write-off? No.
No, I mean, that's just didn't get that income, you know, but your expenses were still going, so.
Right. Okay. All right. No problem at all.
One thing you do know, need to know is even if you have, let's say, an investment property that you purchased this year,
mm-hmm.
right? If it's not up and ready to go
mm-hmm.
this year, then you can't claim any of those expenses until the following year if now it's up and ready to go.
I don't like that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, the good thing is, you know, you can still keep piling up those expenses
mm-hmm.
until it's actually ready to rent.
Okay, so if it's ready to rent next year, but all my receipts are showing the previous year, then they will accept that.
Yep, they carry right over into okay. that year where it's ready to rent.
All right, okay. 1031 exchange. Tell me about that.
The short version is if you have like a rental property and you're planning on selling it,
mm-hmm.
and then but you know you have your eye on another property that you want to buy.
Right.
You can sell that property, and if you were going to have you know, a gain, right? Mm-hmm. Or you made all this money on the sale of that property.
Right.
You have to use a third party intermediary to move the money.
Mm-hmm.
So the proceeds from the sale go to the third party,
mm-hmm.
and that third party can put those monies on the purchase of your new property. And so you kind of skip over having to pay taxes on the gains that you made from selling that first property.
That's absolutely great.
Yeah. So there's time limits to it. You know, mm-hmm. you have to have decided, okay, this is the property that I'm going to buy. You know, you have to have decided that within 45 days, and then you have to close on that new building within 180 days.
So that only works for a sale, not refinance.
I don't know. I would have to look.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I would have to look.
All right. And number seven.
The home office deduction. A lot of people that are working from home for themselves, you know, self-employed people, mm-hmm. they forget about the home office deduction.
Okay.
So if you're using a room in the house or you have a dedicated space that you're using in the house that you're only using for business,
right,
then you can write off, a portion of the house that pertains to that part that you're using for business that goes against your business income. You know, so that brings down your business income.
So you have to get the measuring tape out.
You get the measuring tape out. Yeah. You can go. Usually what I do with my clients is I can go online and see what the size of the house is. Right. So right. I got that. And I just ask them to measure what's the size of your home office, you know, or that space that you use for doing all your business. Right. So, you know, two measurements will give me what I need.
So is it actually your workspace or you're looking at the room that you do the work in?
Well, it depends.
All right.
Because if the room that you do your work in, if the whole room is dedicated to your business activities, then you can use the whole room.
Right.
If you've used half the room and only half the room is for your dedicated to your business activities, then you can only measure off half the room.
Okay. So no writing off your entire efficiency.
No, not if you're not using the whole thing. If you're using that whole efficiency, you know, for business activities and the efficiency is attached to your house, then you could, you know. But okay. In addition to being able to write off that space,
right.
you can also write off utilities mm-hmm. and, you know, internet services and phone services that's going. So not the phone service for the whole house, but the phone service that's going directly for the business,
right.
you know, the internet that's going directly to the business. If you have people coming in and out. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually transact in face-to-face
right.
things from your home office. You can write off things like landscaping, mm-hmm. you know, other things that businesses in a separate building would be able to write off.
Right.
You would write off a portion of that for your business.
So now that we have the tax tips, now we know what the deadline is. How do we engage Nicole Reeves for the solution?
You can reach me at info@narmanagement.com. You mm-hmm. can always go to my website, www.narmanagement.com. And by phone, if you don't want to send an email, 609-712-2524.
That'll do it. And next week, we'll see you at 4 o'clock here on the Boardroom, WWDB. Take care.
The Boardroom meeting has been adjourned. Please join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m.
They're back Tuesday nights at 7. Join Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Spencer Grossinger, Dr. Stephen Lewis, and Josh Dachey for Rover Sports. Football, basketball, baseball, and pop culture. It's an entertaining 90 minutes that will have you rethinking everything you think you thought about sports. Rover Sports, Tuesday nights at 7 on WWDB, on the app, or on any smart device, wherever you stream radio. Just ask Alexa. Rover Sports, Tuesday nights at 7 on WWDB.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from
To Learn More.
When a child is diagnosed with cancer, the last thing parents should have to worry about is how to pay for it. This is a St. Jude moment.
Imani wouldn't be here if it wasn't for St. Jude, and I can't imagine a better place to be.
You know, it's a cliche thing to say, but I feel like my faith in humanity has been restored. The second we arrived here, we had food, housing, transportation, treatment, you name it, it was taken care of by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. There was not a single other care in the world except for Imani, because St. Jude made that happen. The best way I can really describe it is this is heaven on earth. To the people who donate to St. Jude, you know, I just want them to know that I don't think anyone in this world or anything in this world has given me a greater gift. We came as two desperate parents, and they saved our daughter's life.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org. Between business life, social life, and her best bud, Loki, Beverly has a lot to focus on, especially while fighting Stargardt, a blinding retinal disease that starts during childhood and gets worse over time. But despite her vision loss, she's hopeful because she knows she's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding diseases, providing real hope to those fighting vision loss. And our nationwide community of local chapters provides networking and support for people with vision loss, as well as their loved ones. Because the best way to fight against blinding diseases is to fight together. And for Beverly, winning the fight means focusing on what's closest to her. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more about how you can help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.